Okay. So, it's interesting. It's interesting. The Gemara says that even in the days when the Torah was not finished every year. It's not on the page. It's just, you know, just in general. Even when the Torah was not finished every year, they used to finish it once every 3 years. But Ezra had a special takana to read prior to Shavuos the parsha of the Tocha and his Bichul Kosai, right? And prior to Rosh Hashanah, to read Kisavo. One of the Tokacha, the reproach. This one is a reproach in Sefer Vayikra, and Kisavo is the reproach in Sefer Dvarim. And the idea being, when you get a new start, a new beginning, so you need to, you know, clarify things. Like they say, Tich Lashana V'Kiloseh, let the year end with its curses. V'Tachel Shana U'Birchoseha. And I heard from Rav Shapiro, Zechatzal Kodesh L'Bracha, you know, many times. He would always say, we think of this idea of let the year end with its curses and begin with its blessings, sort of like, let's say, good riddance to bad rubbish, right? But that's not the, God forbid, that's not the pshat. The pshat is when you read the Tokacha and you see the ramifications of your actions, when you botch the job, it makes you more sensitive to the entire system. And if indeed we do become more sensitive to the entire system, we rectify our actions, and now we'd be worthy for the system to be there for us in a fashion of bracha rather than a fashion of klala. Right? In other words, if you're constantly trying to drive your car with the emergency brake on, it's going to rebel against it. Your tires are going to get messed up. Your brakes are going to get messed up. You're going to mess up your transmission. But if you look at it and someone shows you, hey, look what you've done to your car, right? You had a good car. You had good tires. You had good brakes. You had good transmission, right? Everything was fine. But the problem is you've been driving around for the last, 5,000 miles with the emergency brake pulled up. Look what you did to your car. And they say, oh, you're right. So you put down the brake and then it drives smoothly. So before Rosh Hashanah we understand that, and this is also before Shavuos, because before Shavuos is what he called is when, right, like the Ari says, it's the time when we are judged on the fruits of a tree, of the trees, right? That's the judgment of the fruits of the trees, like a Bikurim, and man is like a tree of the field, right? He's like a tree of the field. He gives fruits. His fruits are his actions. His roots are his words, his Torah, right? His thoughts, the way he expresses himself, the way he conducts himself, the way he acts, the way he reacts, all the Torah he learns, how he absorbs the Torah. So anyway, so that's this parsha. We're always parsha of Bichul Kosai in any event was always read prior to Shavuos.
So it's still a couple of weeks away.
Right. Now, what we do is, what we have is, we have Bichul Kosai, and then right after Bichul Kosai, we have Bamidbar. Right? Because Bichul Kosai talks about all the curses, God forbid, that befall us when we mess up. And Bamidbar shows that Hashem, He's still counting us, we're there, the encampment of the Jewish people still continues through the flow of history, etc. And it's to remind us, that no matter how badly we mess up, like we'll see later on, how badly we mess up, Hashem won't abandon us. He won't abandon us. Right? He's there for us. He's waiting for us.
He still supports us when we're bad.
Right? Even when we're bad.
Where did we learn that from? That was last month or something.
Here, even in this parsha, it says, right? Afgam zos biosam. Actually, we have a little piece on it at the end. Afgam zos biosam be'eretz avihem. Even when we're in the land of our enemies, right? I will not repel them, says Rabbeinu Shalom. Even when because of our sins we wind up, all messed up in the most disgusting of places, etc. Hashem will never abandon us. We'll talk about that in a minute, Hashem. So that's what he called. That's one nakuda. So this, this parsha really is meant to clue us in, you know, to our connection to Torah, and it's a connection to us and to our lives, etc. Right? It's also what we call this the blessings in it as well. If we drive with the emergency brake down. And in addition, this parsha's Bahar, right? Because it's a double parsha, like you said, Bahar. So it starts off with the discussion of Shemitah. And they ask the age-old question, Mayin in Shemitah to Har Sinai. That's already become like an idiom when somebody says something that it appears to be an oxymoron. You know, two statements that appear to be have no relationship one with the other. So the yeshivish way of saying, you know, what you're saying over there, like the two ideas don't fit together. Like, have you thought about it a little bit? Is Mayin in Shemitah to Har Sinai, right? It's a phrase. In other words, what does Shemitah have to do with Har Sinai? And that's what Chazal say. So we call it Mayin Shemitah Etzel Har Sinai. Why all of a sudden they're over here, Dafka, by the midst of Shemitah, right? So it talks about it, that it was given at Har Sinai. The whole Torah is given at Sinai. So Rashi tells us to teach us that just as Shemitah, and again, this is a discussion in its own right, how the Torah was given over. Was the Torah given over completely at Sinai, and then reviewed in the Holmoid, and then once again before they entered into Eretz Yisrael on the plains of Moab was reviewed again, or was it given a piece at a time, right? In other words, not everything was given, right, initially, and more was given a long time, and until they finished at the end of the end of their sojourn in the desert. But anyway, we say like Rabbi Akiva here that just like Shemitah, all of its general principles and its specifics were said at Sinai, so to also all the mitzvahs, all of them were said, both the general principles and the specifics are at Sinai, and repeated again in the Ol Moed, and again at the plains of Moab before they entered into Eretz Israel. But that answers the question of the idea of Shemitah and Har Sinai. The question is, why specifically of all the mitzvos was Shemitah chosen to teach this lesson? Right? That's what we're going to discuss a little bit. In other words, we understand what Rashi taught us, that from Shemitah and its being mentioned as being given at Sinai, we see that just as Shemitah, all the general principles and the specifics were given at Sinai, so to all the Torah was that way. The question is, why is Shemitah chosen to be the example that conveys this message to us? And they talk about it, but thought we could, there's some things we could maybe say that over here that would be useful for us. So let's take a look here on page 1. See the Medrash Rabbah, the third citation on page 1, right? The first citation is the quotation of Psukim.
You don't have Gimel. All you have is Aleph Beis.
The third citation on page here. This is the third citation. I'm counting paragraphs. Okay, let's relax. it'll all be better in the morning. Okay, so the Medrash Rabbah says as follows: Vayikra El Moshe, Rabbi Tanchum Bar Chani Lai Pasach, a pasuk that we learned together in Tilling. Baruch Hashem Malachov, Gibore Koach. This is actually the first Medrash in Sefer Vayikra. Right, we're at the end of Sefer Gerak. This is the very first in the first part of Medrash in Sefer Vayikra. It says, "Baruch Hashem Malachov Gibore Koach Oseh Dvaro Lishmo BeKol Dvaro." A pasuk in Tehillim. Bless Hashem. Who should bless him? His emissaries or his angels. You might call Malach, but a Malach is an emissary.
Doesn't refer to us,
right? Well, we'll see. It is actually going to refer to us. Right, his emissaries, Gibori Koach, brave people of great strength, Osei Dvaro, who do the word of Hashem, Lishmo Bekol Dvaro, to hear the word called the voice of Hashem. They do the word of Hashem in order to hear the voice of Hashem. Okay, which is a little bit counterintuitive. Usually, you hear the voice and then you do what the voice based upon what you heard. Okay. The next pasuk says, Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Tzvav, bless Hashem all his hosts, Mishrasav, those who serve him, Osei Ritzono, who do his will. So what are these psukim talking about? So we're going to see two opinions in this medrash. V'me HaKosav Medaber, Im Be'el Yonim HaKosav Medaber, V'lo Kfar Nemar, Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Tzvav. In other words, the question is, what's the first pasuk talking about? The second pasuk says, Baruch Hashem Kol Tzvav, that he should be blessed by all of his hosts. That's a reference to the angels and all the upper, right, supernal forces upstairs. So that being the case, what's the first pasuk talking about?
Right.
Right? It must be it's talking about us, down here on earth.
Which pasuk?
The first pasuk. Baruch Hashem Malachov.
Why can't you say the second pasuk?
No, because the second pasuk, the more it assumes, right, the second pasuk, right, Baruch Hashem, or you'll see in the answer why it has to be that way anyway, but Baruch Hashem Kol Tzvav, right, all of his hosts, so that's a reference to the angels. The question is, so what's the first pasuk talking about? Who are the angels in the first pasuk? So that he says, right, and that he says, it's talking about the Tachtonim, and it explains now what the difference in the two psukim are. Elyonim al yedei, shein yecholun l'amo betafkidav, shakodesh baruch hu nemru baruch hu Hashem kol tzvav, right? The Elyonim, the upper, we call the upper forces, because they can always fulfill the word of Hashem. So therefore, it says over there, Baruch Hu Hashem Kol Tzvav, all the hosts. That's in the second pasuk. All the hosts will be successful in doing Hashem's will. Why? Because they're angels. He made them. They have no Yetzer Hara, right? They're completely dedicated to the fulfillment of His will, and therefore, all the hosts in heaven do Hashem's job. You don't see, you know, one day you look outside, you look out to the sky, right? At nighttime, you don't see, you know, all of a sudden, you know, Venus deciding, heck, I'm tired of doing this.
I'm going on my own.
Right, I'm going on vacation. I'm going to the Galapagos Islands, right? I want to ride on a turtle. Right, okay? You don't see it. They already call all of Hashem's hosts, certainly Malachim, who are spiritual beings, for sure they always do His will. Aval Tachtonim. But the lower worlds, down here by us, we're not able always to manage to fulfill His will. Don't we know it? Right? Doesn't say all of His emissaries. In other words, we are emissaries of Hashem. We are malachim. We are shlichim. We have a job description. We have a job to do. But it doesn't say kol malachov. Because some of us don't do the job, right? And even those of us do the job, sometimes we do it, sometimes we don't do it, etc. So therefore, it doesn't say kol over there. Fine. Further. Now, gibore koach ose dvaro, v'mea kosum edaber. So now, then it says, gibore koach, what do you call it? Back to the first pasuk again. It's talking about us. That first pasuk is talking about us. No, baruch hu, in other words, baruch hu Hashem malachav. Right, from the Tehillim Kuf Gimel Pasuk Chof.
I see it.
Right? That first, it says, Gibore Koach, Ose Dvaro, V'mea Kosum Medaber. Right? It says, it refers to us as Gibore Koach, brave, powerful, right? Brave and powerful, those who do His will. Who's it talking about? Who's it referring to? So we know it's referring to people. The question is, right, that we understood from the first part of the Medrash. The question is, under what circumstances is it referring to us? So Amar Rav Yitzchak, b'shomer shviyas hakos v'daver. It's talking about those who keep Shemitah. And they're called Gibore Koach. Why? Because they, right, b'derech chlal, under normal circumstances, you do a mitzvah, how long does a mitzvah last? A few minutes? Half an hour, you daven, you go to davening, you do this. A mitzvah will last hours, a day, a week, a month, whatever. A year? A whole year? Not to, what do you call it, not to plow your field, not to reap your field, right? Not to sow, not to, what? A whole year? That person's called a gibore koch, right? That's a person, he is a brave warrior, right? His yetzer hara tells him, how am I going to live? How am I going to manage? What's going to be with me? I'm a lost cause. I'm not going to have any parnasa. He listens to Hashem's word. That's the first interpretation. Rabbi Huna, at the end there, the bold line, the end, or the third to last bold line in the paragraph. Rabbi Huna, b'shem Rav Acha Omer b'Yisrael sha'amdu lefnei har Sinai akosav medaber shekedibu asiya l'shmiya. Who's it referring to? It's referring to, Klal Yisrael as they stood at Har Sinai. That they said nasa v'nishma. They said nasa v'nishma. They were maktim asiya l'shmiya. They said, we'll do it, and we'll understand it afterwards. So this pasuk, right? This pasuk of Baruch Hu Hashem Malachav Gibore Koach Ose Dvaro L'Shma Bekol Dvaro, The Medrash suggests two possibilities of who is referring to. One, that it's referring to the Shomer Shemitah, and the other, right, that it's referring to Klal Yisrael at Matan Torah.
Isn't they both the same?
What?
Aren't they both the same, right? Well, I mean, you included Shemitah.
That's true, but what we call it, it's not the same thing. One, we're talking about the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shemitah, right? And the other one, we're talking about Klal Yisrael's attitude in terms of receiving the Torah. Right, so it's who's the topic?
Sounds,
it's true.
Similar. Yeah.
No, I mean, what do you call it? It's like saying, you know, what's the topic? What's the topic? And we're looking at right now in the valley, right? Like right now, we're looking at the valley. So you can say, my topic right now is what do you call it? Is the valley? Is the valley? So if we're talking about the valley, so that means that there's a certain genome, you know, it's got a little bit of trees, got some low shrubs, the stuff is brown, a bit of brown, et cetera. So that's a topic. Or we could say, I want to talk right now about that, what do you call it, that guy who's walking in the valley, right? So he's also in the valley, but it's two different topics. It's true, one is very broad, but it's not the focus of conversation. What's the focus of conversation? Is it Klal Yisrael's attitude towards being mekabel the Torah, or is it in the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Shemitah? You're right, the principle is the same, and that's exactly the point we're trying to prove here. That's one of the ideas of why Shemitah was chosen, right, to be the example to show us that everything was said at Har Sinai, because it's an example that shows that they're both concepts are really related. How so? So if we take a look, Sefer Chinuch, right? Sefer Chinuch says that the main toelis, right? it talks about the Shorshei Mitzvah.
Yeah.
Oh, I see some sort of security thing. And a siren. Up and down. Whatever. I doubt it's a nuclear attack. In any event, you hear it?
Hey, what's the sound? It could be a fire engine. It could be an ambulance.
It's not fire. It's going up and down. No, it's a security. Something must have happened someplace. Whatever. Okay, I was not discussion. Anyway, so what the Sefer Chinuch says, right? He says in the shorish of the mitzvah of Shemitah, right? He says Od yesh toeles acher nimtza bezeh ha'adam shiyosef adam bitochon b'shem Baruch Hu. The mitzvah of Shemitah, right, fosters bitachon in Hashem. You're forced to say, Hashem knows better for me. Right? Because if you ask a guy with some street smarts, he says, well, I'm not going to sow, I'm not going to reap, I'm not going to till my soil, I'm going to drop dead. I'm not going to have any food to eat. Right? But places the bitachon in Hashem that I believe that Hashem has my best interest in mind and He knows what's best for me. That says the Sefer Chinuch, that's the yisod of Shemitah.
As with every other mitzvah.
Again, recall other mitzvahs don't test you quite so much, right? Putting on a pair of tefillin in the morning is a very good thing, but it's no sweat, you know, it's not like, okay, I'm not sacrificing my livelihood for this, right?
Well, it's a Corona thing.
Okay, can we? Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, okay. As they say, kol hamosif goreya. Okay. 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 Fine.
So Shemitah is the shorish of.
Very good. Chosen teacher, bitachon. Okay. See that Siach Yitzchak? That's a parish, right? Of Yitzchak Malton. He was a Yerushalayim Jew, I think a Talmud of the Gra, right? Maybe a Talmud of the Gra, whatever. He lived about 100 years ago, right? Or more, actually, probably more, something like that, in Yerushalayim. And he says as follows. He says, when we say Ahava Rabba, right? So we say in the Tefillah of Ahava Rabba before Kriya Shema, we say Bavur Avoseinu Shabbat Techu V'cha, in the merit of our forefathers who placed their trust in you, V'atlamdeim Chukei Chaim, and you taught them the ways of life, came to Chanenu Slamdenu so to grace us and teach us. Right? Teach us the Torah. So he says, what does one have to do with the other? Right? Bavura was hinged, but Chuvacha, and he taught them, came to Chanenu Slamdenu. Avino Avrahamanim, Rachem, Rachem, Malenim, Vistem, Livino, Lavin, Laskil, Lashwal, Lamal, Lamay. Right? What does one have to do with the other? So he says, he has to do everything. He says, because you know why Hashem taught them Torah? He taught them how to live? Because they trusted him. Right? He says, our biggest problem is we're not 100% convinced that Hashem has our best interest in mind. Right? In other words, we don't think about it. We say, I know what's good for me. What's good for me is another jelly donut. Right? That's what's good for me. Or what's good for me is, you know, I have a lot of money in the bank. Or what's good for me is this. Or what's good for me is that. What's good for me is the next thing. Right? So therefore, when I come into, you know, doing the mitzvahs, you know, is this good for me? Especially if you come into a mitzvah, like you said, okay, you're right. Recall anything that's going to cause me to, you know, to have to take off time from what I know or what I think I know is good for me. But the avos implicitly trusted Hashem, and therefore he taught them Torah, right? Because it's on the foundation of bitachon, that we accept the Torah properly. So now we see, right? Now we see that why it is, like, we one way of understanding the relationship, like you said before, between Shemitah and Kabbalah Satorah at Har Sinai. One way to understand it is because both require bitachon, right? Both require bitachon. The trust that Hashem knows what's best for me, so I'm willing to do the Torah, and as I do it, I'll understand it, right? As opposed to the way people normally approach things, which is first explain to me why I should do this, then I'll sign, right? First explain why I should do it, and then I'll sign. But here, with regard to Hashem and Matan Torah, that's what we said, we'll do it, and then through that we'll understand it. And same thing also with regard to Shemitah. Shemitah is an incredible leap of faith. No tilling, no reaping, no plowing, no nothing, no sowing. Leap of faith. And upon that, the Torah.
Shemitah is next year or the year after?
No, it's not next year. It's the following year. This is Maaser Sheni year. So what do you call it? The next year will be Maaser Ani, and then after it will be Shemitah. And the Groh and Mishlei actually even says, he says an incredible statement. He says, Hashem, this is a little bit of the reverse, but essentially the Groh here in Mishlei, he says that Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people, Kedei she'asimu bitchon b'Hashem, so they should place their bitachon in Hashem. The Torah was given to foster bitachon. Right? And the idea of fostering bitachon is to create that relationship. The Torah was given to cement the relationship that we had, because once we're living in the realm of the Torah, right? The realm of the Torah is not the realm of, it's not the beat of the standard drummer. We're marching to be a completely different drummer. Our values are not the same. Our what we respect, what equality is not what everybody else respects. What we disdain is not what everybody else disdains. What we love is not what everybody else loves. What we hate is not what everybody else hates. We're in a different world. We're in a world connected to Hashem. The world of living in the Torah creates, I rely completely upon Hashem, because that's the system. He is the conductor. He's the conductor whose baton I'm following. Fine. Let's see another aspect to this idea of Shemitah and the relationship to Torah. A very interesting thing also. Now, what do you call it? Now to inside Parshas Bahar, right? In Perek Chafet Pasuk Yudalet, right? Right, so there it talks about, right? It talks about when you sell a field. In other words, we know that the halacha is by Yovel, that all the fields have to return to the original owners. So you have to make a cheshvan exactly how many years it is until Yovel, right? And record, and you have to make sure you don't cheat anybody. You don't cheat anybody, and generally you don't back out of deals, etc. So there is an idea, even though there isn't officially a din of onah.
That was the sugi we're learning in Arkin.
Right.
Before this thing.
Right. Right. So that's what he calls. So that's the idea. There is an idea of onas mamon, in general in business dealings, even not with karka. That's what he calls. There is onas mamon, and that's what says v'chisimkru mimkar lamisecha al kano miyad misecha al tono ish esachiv. When you do business with somebody else, don't rip him off. Oh, no. Right? Fraudulent dealings. Fraudulent dealings. You overcharge a person, right? People want to buy, everybody call it, buy a K94 or whatever it is, mask, right? I'll sell it to you for a lower price, right, of 200 shekels. Right? Okay? It's oh, no. Fine. Then...
the doggy dog world.
Okay? But it's wrong. It's wrong. Right? Right? Canine. Oh, right. Yeah, very good. Okay. Very good. Because, and then afterwards it says, Velo sonu ish es amiso viarese melokechom ki ani Hashem elokechem. Velo sonu ish es amiso. This is talking about not abusing somebody else, but this time not abusing him monetarily. Don't abuse him with words. Onaz dvarim. When you say words that hurt, right? You're over Nisa Deraisa, Onaz Devarim.
How do we get to this subject?
Oh, so that's precisely the question. How in the world, it's true, they both use the word Onah, right? Oppressing, you oppress a person financially, right? You oppress a person financially, right, by ripping him off. Or you oppress him verbally, but what does it have to do with it? This is not the place. This pasuk, this idea of don't oppress somebody else's words, belongs to the V'haftel Reicha Kamocha, I don't know. What's it doing over here? Like, for instance, if you see a person who's suffering, right? You say to him, you know why you're suffering? It's probably because you sinned, right? That's why you're suffering. So you're over on Oz Dvarim. A person comes, what he called, he says, you know, he's a recent convert. And he says, recent convert. Yeah, huh, you're converted. So when was the last time you saw your grandpappy when he was swinging from a tree, right, etc.?
What is that you want?
Swinging from a tree, you know, like killer you.
Hands?
I'm saying you're making fun of a guy. He's a convert. What he called? He says his grandfather. What you're saying was what he called was a primitive person, right?
Oh, that, a monkey.
Right, a monkey. But he was swinging from a tree, or what he called, or I met somebody the other day who looked just like you. Where was I? I remember I was in the zoo. Right. That's oh no, that's for him. That's abuse. It's us. So at any event. He says, so it's a very interesting thing. What's it doing here? So the Medrash says, right, this Medrash here, it says, Vaydaber Hashem.
Okay, where is the place that it's mentioned? Where is it mentioned?
It's in Parshas Bahar.
That's right after Shemitah?
Right, it's in the first parak there when we were talking
first
about.
With Shemitah.
Right. We talked about selling fields and then don't rip somebody off financially. And then right after that it says, don't abuse somebody verbally.
Okay.
So now. So then the Medrash, right, the Medrash says, Vaydaber Hashem Moshe, V'chisim k'lo memkar, l'misech, v'dichtziv, mavas v'chaim, b'yad ha'loshon. Right, the Medrash on this pasuk tells you that death and life are in the hands of the tongue. Death and life are in the hands of the tongue. In order to prove this point, right, what is it telling us? So Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he made a seuda, right, he made a seuda for his Talmidim. And the main course was tongue. Right? If that works for people, that's fine. Right? It doesn't work for them, try and be theoretical. But the fact is, what he called it was tongue. And he put different types of tongues, right, pieces of tongue on the platter. There were ones that are soft and ones that were hard. Right? And he commented as he saw each one was choosing, they were choosing a soft tongue as opposed to what he called as a hard piece of tongue. He says, just as you're choosing a soft tongue, right? So too, when the way that you deal with one another, make sure that your tongue is soft vis-a-vis your friend and not hard. Okay? Okay, so that's what he called. That's the Medrash over here. So now, look at this Fasemis. That's the next last citation over here. He says, B'Medrash, Mavas L'chaim B'yad HaLoshon. Right? And he brings down that your tongue should be soft and not hard. Watch your words. V'yadua, right, says the Sassanah. Right? Viadua. The top line there in the bowl. Viadua.
No.
Right? Viadua.
You know what?
Ki chek loshen hara, shokol kenegan kulam. Right? Loshen hara, or for that matter, what he called, so let's think of loshen hara. What he called is equal to all the averis. Why? Behipuch zeva haftel reecha kamocha. Because when you use your tongue to divide people, right, it's the worst thing. V'haftel reicha kamocha is the opposite of that, the polar opposite of that, because that creates bonds between people. Ze'om u'zochu b'nei Yisrael ba'atzmon, u'b'zeh ha'koach niskar v'la Torah. And through the koach of what do you call it, of caring for one another, valuing one another. That's how we approach Torah. That's why it says in the Parsha of Matan Torah, it says Vayichan Yisrael Neged Ahar, that they encamped as one people, Ki Ish Echad B'Lev Echad, like one person with one heart. It doesn't say Vayachanu, they encamped in the plural. It says Vayichan in the singular, to teach us, right, that that's, that was the preparation for Matan Torah. Uparshazu Mechuvenes Lezeh Ki Mitzvah Shmita Hu Lovo El Achdus. Fascinating. He suggests, and the truth is, the Sefer Chinuch and Never Chinuch that I didn't bring down over here also says this, a similar idea, a different principle to be learned from Shemitah. Not just a principle of bitachon b'Hashem, but also a principle of realizing that we're equal. Right? Not seeing ourselves as bigger than the next person. We're equal. We're equal. That's a very hard thing to do. Right? It's a very hard thing to do.
So, all Klal Yisrael camp at Har Sinai with an equal tongue? With one tongue?
No, not necessarily with one tongue. They came with one heart. You know, they weren't divided amongst each other. I'm just saying that the tongue, right, the tongue is a master tool for either binding people together or separating people, right? You speak nicely, right? I don't mean just please and thank you, you know, dotting your I's and crossing your T's. Talking about the way you speak, you're makar of a person through your speech.
Got it.
Or you can distance a person through your speech. You say something nasty, you say something, what do you call it, that annoys the person, you say something that makes the person angry, you insult the person, you divide. And that is the exact opposite of what we need in order to be makar of the Torah. So he says it's fascinating that this is brought down in the context of Shemitah. Why? Right? In the context of Shemitah, why is it brought in the context? Because one of the principles of Shemitah is also to realize that we're equal. Why? Because during Shemitah, with regard to the land, everybody's equal. The land is fallow. The Ashirim, the Aniyim, right? We're all in the same boat. We're all together. It forces us to realize our sense of brotherhood, right? That we're all equal before Hashem. Because we tend to think, you know, yeah, you know, Hashem, right? Of course, Hashem is interested in me because I'm Chashev, right? That guy over there, okay. So you know, I guess we need him also. Listen, we need doorstops also, right? So he's got to be here also. That is such a flawed way of looking at things. It's such a flawed way of looking at things. Imagine what an embarrassment! What an embarrassment for a person who thinks like that. He comes to the Olam HaEmes, right? Comes to Olam HaEmes, and he sees this guy, whom he's always looked down upon as who is this guy? He's a zero, right? He's a zero. I, on the other hand, I'm one of Hashem's princes. What do you call it? But this guy over here, this guy, you know, Peter, he's, you know, in the next world he'll be a dog catcher, right, or something like that. I'll be a prince. I'll be a dog catcher. Guy shows up, comes to the next world, and you know, this guy's sitting on a throne, the other guy's sitting on a throne, and I'm standing down on the ground, you know, looking at me on the throne. It's like, oh, what happened? Hashem says, listen, sweetheart, you know, what you saw over here, that's, you know, that you don't know what he had to deal with, right? You don't know what he had to deal with. You don't know how much of a struggle it was for him, we call, based upon his nurture, his nature, etc. You don't know how much effort he had to put in to do even the most basic things, right? And you, right, you're blessed with this, you're blessed with that, you're blessed with the next thing. So you went with the flow. Maybe you put in a little bit of effort,
so
right?
That's an example. We're not all equal.
No, that's... I'm sure that's a provocation.
No,
it shows that we're equal.
One guy's
here,
sitting on the throne, the other is not sitting
that's,
on the throne.
That's the only MS. But here, you have to. The struggle is to look at each other as equal. I don't know that some guy... there's no guarantee that because somebody is what you call it, has less stature over here, is going to be necessarily automatically better over there. It doesn't, because, I don't know. Well, maybe yeah, maybe no. Maybe yes, maybe no. But the fact is, I certainly have no reason to believe that I'm better than he is. I have no reason to believe it's better than he is. We're all equal. And that's the sort of Shemitah. That's the Shemitah. Ashir v'aniyim shava b'shemitah. Ulevad zeh, aside from that, he says all the ideas of counting, right? Counting towards Shemitah, counting towards Yovel. The whole concept, right? Even the sphira going towards Shavuos now is all to teach that all the numbers lead to one. To a one unit. That we're all bound up part of each other, right, connected to each other as we build one collective unit. It's sort of like we've said before from the Shlah. He says, Yisrael is Rosh HaKevus, Yesh, Shishim, Rebo, Osius, the Torah. Right? Every person is another letter from the Torah, and if one person is missing, then the Torah is missing. Right? Each one of us. So now...
So how is it related to Shemitah again?
So again, because in Shemitah...
We're all equal.
Right, we're all equal, so that generates the sense... of that we're all equal for Hashem.
We all have to eat. We all have to acquire.
Right. None of us has got no money on land anymore. Right? You said you got 10,000 dunams of finest land. It's not yours during Shemitah. And the guy before who had a potted plant, right? And that's all he had. Everybody's equal. Everybody's equal.
Maybe he has cows and.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I mean, they're not Bali Bechira, so we're not in the same circle with them. But they're Hashem's creations also, you're right. V'zeh smichas Shemitah lahar Sinai. And that's why the entire topic of Shemitah was brought, in the context of being received at Sinai, because this is another idea that's necessary. Before we said the first lesson of Shemitah and Har Sinai was Bitachon. The next lesson of Shemitah and Har Sinai is what he calls brotherhood.
Equality.
Right? Equality, brotherhood. I don't want to make it sound like we're communists, right? My brotherhood, equality, that we're all part of a group, right? And like the Sforno says on Naaseh, right? When Klaika said Naaseh, so Sforno says that between all of us, the Ratzon of Hashem will be done. Between all of us. Right? What does that mean? Because I know I can't possibly fix the job description, right? That my friend is supposed to do. And what he's supposed to do, I can't do. And what someone else is supposed to do, they're supposed to do. Everybody's got a different chelik. So the concept of a brotherhood is also necessary for Kabbalah Satorah. And listen to this al-shech here on the bottom. Right? This al-shech is absolutely stunning. The al-shech says, another idea over here is, when you're selling... Yeah, we call it the bottom of the page. We call it Al-Sheikh. I'm going to synopsize it so we won't get caught up too much. Right? He says as follows. It's in the context of, let's say a field. A guy, why does he sell his field? Because he's out of cash. He's out of cash. Right? Life is not going so well for him. So he says, so people then have a tendency, Nebuch, he's not doing so well. You know why? He's not so kashuv, right? I, on the other hand, I didn't have to sell my field. I bought his field. I must be the tzaddik. And he's the nebo. So it's in that context, right, that the Torah tells you, don't oppress him with words. Don't oppress him with words. In other words, like the pasuk says in Eo.
You're going through hard times. Right.
Right, must be you're a loser. You're a loser, right? It's such a part of human nature, right? It's such a part of human nature. It's so, right? The Pusik says in Eo.
One upmanship. Why is that so?
What?
One
upmanship. Right? Pusik says in Eo, Zchor na mi naki avad. Mihu naki avad. Right? Eliphaz said to Eo, you're suffering, Eo. But remember, right? Who was clean? Was ever destroyed. It must be you got some stuff going on, right? That's why, what do you call it? That's why life is treating you so hard, because you're not so great.
To
Eov, yeah. Remember who is the clean one who was destroyed, right? If you're suffering, you lost all your assets here, you lost all your assets there, you lost your family, Rahmanul Itzlan, right? You know what? You must not be so clean. Must not be so clean. That's the classical example of Onaz Devarim. She says, so says the Al-Sheikh, right? It's in the context of having to sell a field, right, that a person might wind up being abusive, right? And he says a fascinating thing. He says, that's the Diuk in the Pasuk. Look at the Pasuk over here. Pasuk is such an interesting punnet. Lo sonu ish es amito. Don't oppress ish es amito. A person with his friend. V'yareisa me'elokecha. You should have fear of Hashem. Elokecha means your Hashem. The one who guides you. Ki ani Hashem elokechem. For I am the God of all of you. Right? Don't, record, concoct in your mind. Right? and oppress your friend by thinking v'yareisa me'el, what do you call kecha? You think that, what do you call it, you know, right? He's my God, right? I'm close to him, right? I'm close to him. This guy over here, must be he's not so close, and that's why he's suffering. He says, that's a sheker. Why? Ki ani Hashem Elokecha, I'm the one who guides both of your lives. I guide both of your lives. It's a fascinating way of reading the pasuk. Right? That you and he are all in the same boat. So this idea, once again, of Shemitah in general fostering brotherhood, and then also the discussion, right, of Onaz Devarim in the context of Shemitah, is once again to teach us that we would call, who are we to say that one is better than the next? Who are we to say? Right? Who are we to say? We don't have the right to say. Again,
I can say that from Torah, the guys of Torah.
So now, so what do you call it? So let's hear that. Time out. Klai Yisrael, we know the klal is in the Gemara. Ein l'dayan el l'masha ein of ro'os. A dayan, right, a judge. And for that matter, the way we conduct ourselves in Torah, all you can only go by what you see, right? You can only go by what you see. And the halacha tells you have to follow based upon what you see. So if, let's say, a person, what do you call one person, is a Talmud Chacham. So he comes by, you stand up for him.
Right.
Another guy comes by, he's not a Talmud Chacham.
Right.
You don't stand up for him.
Right.
Oh, but maybe, what do you call it? Maybe in Hashem's eyes they're all equal. I can't function like that. Right? And this is what you call the Torah can only have you deal with what you see. But we're talking about what ultimately is the goal. Right? This person over here might be a person, right? Might be a person who what do you call it? Who's struggling with incredible amount of baggage. Right? And for him to do anything, right? He deserves an unbelievable reward. And it could be the other person who's this, that, or the next thing, right? Who's studied a lot, and he's, what do you call it, a big tzaddik and stuff. But his nature and his nurture are much easier to deal with. And he hasn't put in as much effort. That's not something we can look at in this world. So we're going to stand up for the Talmud Chacham. We're not going to stand up for this guy over here. But in the next world, Hashem, recall, knows exactly what's going on. Right? That's why, remember, we talked about.
How do you say Torah deals with what we see?
Because it's not communism. It's not that, what do you call it, that we look at everybody right now and here, right? We're going to deal with each person equally. Right? We'll stand up for the Talmud Chacham. We'll stand up for the guy who was Am Oretz. Right? We'll stand up for the guy who could be, he might even be, I mean, we talked about, remember, when we were doing Achrimos Kedoshim. So we had a Yerushalmi in Tainis. Right? Yerushalmi in Tainis. The Rabbi Avo had a dream. He had a dream. There was a drought. There was no water, and they wanted to be gozer tainis. And he had a dream that if so and so, this guy Pintakaka, interesting name, Pintakaka, if he would record it, if he prays, if he davens, so the rain will come. So Rabbi Avo had him brought. He says the Pintakaka. He asked him what he was. He was a procurer for a house of ill repute. He was a procurer for a house of ill repute.
Right?
So what do you call it? You know, it's like, you know, this is the guy, if he davens, the rain is going to come? Like, what's the story? He says, did you ever do anything, you know, special, you know, aside from being a procurer for a house of ill repute? He says, well, one time I was cleaning up the theater, right? I guess the theater, what do you call it, went next to the house of ill repute, right? Well, that we can understand. And what do you call it? And behind one of the columns, I heard a woman crying, right? And I turned around and asked her, why are you crying? What's the matter? She says, my husband was taken captive. I don't have the money to free him, to pay the ransom. So I came here. She was going to sell herself in order to get the money to be able to ransom her husband. She said, I took all my, what do you call it, all my, you know, my household belongings, what do you call it, his bed, whatever it is he had, I don't know, right? Right? He says, and I sold it. I gave her the money. I said, here's the money, don't sin. So Rabbi says, okay, fine. Well, I understand. You daven. Right? You daven. So under normal circumstances, we're not going to stand up for Pintakaka when he walks through the street. We're going to say, oh, there goes Pintakaka, whatever. We won't say what he is. Right? Etc. Right? But we're talking about the Olam HaEmes. Who knows? Right? The truth is that it says with regard to Talmidei Chachamim, they maintain their status.
They maintain the status. But nonetheless, we don't know. We don't know. Okay.
You want something to drink?
No, I'm fine. I'm okay. Okay, let's just really call it. Let's go one step further. Now to Bichul Kosai. Bichul Kosai. Amelus Batorah. In Bichul Kosai Telecho Vesmesosai Tishmeru Vasisim Osam. Rashi tells us what does Bichul Kosai Telecho means? Right? Amelus Batorah. Amelus. Struggle in Torah. What does it mean, struggle in Torah? Right? So then, and we've discussed this before, but it's such an important thing. The Medrash says, right? In Bichul Kosai Telechu. Huhu Dichthiv, this concept of Bichul Kosai Telechu, which Rashi told us means a melus for Torah, this is a fulfillment, it finds its fulfillment in what David HaMelech writes in Tehillim Kufyut Tes. Chishavti Drachai, right? I thought hard about my path. Vashivar Aglayel Eidosecha. And my legs brought me, I brought my legs to Eidosecha, to your testimonials. Amar David, says David, what's the pshat? Ribon Shalom, b'chol yom v'yom ha'isi mechashe v'omer l'abakom ploni u'l'beis dira plonis ani holech. Every day David said, I thought I was going to go to this place, I thought I was going to go to that place. V'yuraglai m'vios osi, and my legs brought me, as it were, willy-nilly, right? My legs brought me to the Beis HaKnesses and to the Beis HaMedrash. That's why it says in the pasuk, "Vashivar aglay eid vasech," and I brought my legs to your testimonies. So now, we know the pshat in this medrash does not mean that David HaMelech says, you know, every day Hashem, I get up, I thought I'd go to the pool parlor, right? Right? Or I thought I'd go what he called to I don't know. Whatever it is.
What is it? My legs brought me, or
yeah.
I brought
me? No, my leg. What do you call it? It's kiva shiva aglai, right? And as I was planning going to this place, and all of a sudden I'm bringing my legs. I'm bringing my legs. It sounds like his legs are bringing him kilo, or I'm bringing my legs. Shiva aglai, it was, and I brought my legs to what do you call it, to your testimonies. So he says, so what's the pshat? What's that mean? I was going to go to the pool parlor, and next thing you know, all of a sudden, I got a change of mind. My legs are taking me to the Beis HaMedrash, the Beis HaKnesses. So it says the Sfasemis, let's synopsize the Sfasemis. He says an unbelievable thing. He says, that's obviously ridiculous. Right? It doesn't mean David was going to recall to the pool parlor. Right? Every day, he was going to do Hashem's mitzvahs. Right? The mitzvahs that you have to do, no one else can do. And you don't have more time to do it except now. You have to do it now. The question is what happens afterwards? What happens afterwards?
What do you mean?
In other words, what would it call? In other words,
you do a mitzvah, then what? You go to sleep, or you go to
the movies? Oh! So that's precisely the point, right? I did it. You insert your thumbs underneath your suspenders. You what do you call it? Lay back in your hammock. Yeah. You take your mint julep, and maybe a corn cob pipe, and maybe a bit of what do you call it, of straw between your toes, right? And you just sit there waiting for the Mississippi to appear and to bring you Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, right? No, that's not it. After every mitzvah, right? It's really cool. It's a testimony. In other words, every place that you go and everything that you encounter, you're testifying to Hashem's presence in that thing, right? That's what a mitzvah. We've talked about a million times already. Right? Every mitzvah, you're betzavta, you're together with Hashem. Every place you go. So David Melech, he's going to do a mitzvah. He wasn't going to a pool parlor because he would want to have a game with Minnesota Fats. Right? He's going to do whatever he needs to do. But then he always came back afterwards to the Beis HaKnesses. That's where all the Jews joined together, because I know I'm doing just one part of what needs to be done by all the Jewish people. Right? It's not like, you know, because of me, Hashem is going to record, is running the world. It's because of the Jewish people. And I'm one part of the Jewish people. So he went back to the Beis HaKnesses, and he went back to the Beis HaMedrash. Why? Because after you've comprehended something, and even after you've implemented something, don't sit there and pat yourself on the back and say, hey, you know, what do you call it? Right? I did it. Can I go on vacation now? No. It's just another opportunity to realize you're standing before a new frontier, right, of something else you have to understand. that you didn't understand before, and then something else to implement. That's what it, that's the amelus of a Torah. You're always amel. It's not like, you know, I struggle, ah, I got the pshat. Okay? Where's the applause? Like, you know, that's it, I did it. I'm the greatest guy. I'm the most brilliant guy. I said it all. I did it all, right? It's really cool. It's me. I'm the cheese. The big cheese. I'm not Mashiach. What's the story? No. Everything you understand is just to realize you don't understand. And then go further. And when you understand that, to realize you don't understand further. So two places, after anything he accomplished in revealing the Adrus of Hashem, he's testifying, Hashem is in this, right, experience. Sometimes they're bitter experiences, but the way you deal with it through the lens of the Torah, that testifies that Hashem is there, right? All different types of experience, all different types of events, like events we go through now, right? That's how we're testifying. And after we record, as we deal with it, right, through the lens of the Torah, so we're testifying to Hashem's presence there, and then what do? I realize this is just one part. I'm doing my part, but my part is part of all of what Klal Yisrael needs to do, right? It's not just me, myself, and I. It's not just me, myself, and I. It's one part of what Klal Yisrael has to do. And then, whatever you've achieved, realize that this brings you now to a new frontier. You achieved that, you understood that, you accomplished that, and now go further. Never stop. Amelus b'Torah. Amelus b'Torah. So once again, the idea of the Beis HaKnesses goes together with the Beis HaMedrash. Be part of the Klal. Don't cut yourself off from the Klal. Because it's only, like the Svarno said, Naaseh, through all of us, the Ratzon Hashem will be done. And the Ratzon Hashem is endless. So the Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash, the joining with all the rest of Klal Yisrael, and the Amelus B'Torah, they go hand in hand together. So once again, this concept of that we're all in it together, right, is here in Parshas Bechukosai as well. Mm-hmm. And finally, the Sasemis brings from his grandfather, the Chedushi Arim. Mm-hmm. He says, and that's the pshat in the Mishnah in Avos. It says in the first Perkei Avos, Im ein anili mili. If I'm not doing my job, no one else is going to do it for me, because everybody has their own specific job description, right? V'im ani la'atzmi, ani la'atzmi ma'ani. But if I only think about me, myself, and I, and I forget that I'm part of the brotherhood of the Jewish people who are all together doing the job, then I'm also lost. And if I don't do my personal job, I'm lost. If I don't see myself as part of what the Klal has to do, it's just me and Hashem, right? And everybody else can go to the devil, right? Once again, I'm lost. And every moment has its requirement. There's no such thing as what he called as burn time. Again, people need to relax in order to be able to go forward. But just to burn time, because time is there to be burned, lo achshav emasai. Okay. Bezer Shem, we should implement it.